them. Is your memory, like, completely shot? Have you searched every section of your brain for the answer to this question and you just can't quite come up with it? So we need to, I need to help you. And the cop would then say yes. And then the prosecutor would say, would showing you your notes refresh your memory? And then the cop would say yes. And then the prosecutor would say, Judge, may I approach? And the prosecutor would say, and the judge would say yes. And then the prosecutor would give him the notes, and then he would read from his notes, and then they would continue the questioning. And then they would get to another section of the questioning, and the cop would freeze up again. And we would have to go through that ritual again. And then after the ritual was over and he read from his notes, he would go back to some more questioning. And then he would freeze up again. And by the fourth time it happened, you could see the prosecutor, like, bristle. Like, he was actually just like, what the fuck, dude? Like, seriously, bro, like, did you not brush up on any of your information before the trial? Were you not prepared for this? This was literally your morning cleared out. Like you're going to be in court. You're going to have to testify about this DUI case or OUI case. And, oh my God, it was pulling teeth. It was so bad. And then after that, the defense attorney basically just did some sort of kind of cleanup, which was just like, you've never seen this woman before. How do you know that her eyes were droopy? How do you know her speech was slurred? Bah, bah, bah. Just, you've never met her. You know what her, you don't know what her cadence sounds like. You don't know what her eyes look like, et cetera, et cetera. And basically just saying, like, you made the determination that she was impaired, but you had no proof of that. And the cop was basically like, hey, I thought she was, blah, blah, blah. And that was the end of Cop 1's testimony. And we were supposed to have a 5-minute break after Cop 1, and it turned into like a 25-minute break. And we were kind of all hoping that the prosecution was really upset about that and they'd somehow cut a deal with the defense and we were over with this. But sadly, that was not to be. And we then got to Cop 2. And Cop 2 said that, yeah, when we got there, there was some, like, Adderall on her nose. She had very obviously snorted the Adderall. And he's basically a specialized officer that knows drug identification officer, I believe was the terminology used. But basically, he was the guy in the precinct who was the guy that would, like, do the 12-step program to delineate that you were, in fact, intoxicated on narcotics. It's not like a DUI where you just blow into the breathalyzer, boop, you pop a number, we got you, done. Like, narcotics-based OUI offense requires this sort of special touch, and that this guy, for his department, is the guy that does that. And then on cross, the defense attorney basically said, look, why didn't you do the 12-step part with her? And he said, well, that was because I was in the field with her and I was now already biased against her. I thought she was obviously impaired. And the defense attorney said, well, then couldn't you have called someone in from a different department? And he's like, I guess I could have, but blah, blah, blah. And she just looked at him incredulously. He's like, why didn't you do your fucking job? And he was just basically looked at her and said, lady, this woman was very obviously impaired. We didn't have to do all these steps when this woman 100% was on Adderall. She had done stuff. She'd done this stuff, and then she was on these three different drugs. And it was Adderall and Jacinamine, or, oh God, I can't remember the name of it. I'm trying to say it, but gabapentin, that was it. Gabapentin was the one I remember. There was a third one that was also a depressant whose name eludes me. First person to DM me or reply to this pod and guess the drug that refreshes my memory wins the prize of nothing. But yeah, so that was the situation. So Then we did the closing arguments. The closing arguments basically were the prosecutor saying she did it. This is very obvious. Please convict her. And the defense attorney saying they didn't do their jobs. Do not do their jobs for them. Do not convict her. And for me, she was guilty because she obviously had snorted Adderall. She got out of the car, walked around, got back in the car, was the officer like pulled her over or like stopped her, asked her what was going on. She said she was following the music, which is not something you say when you're in your right mind. And the judge told us that the three criterion for conviction here were that she was operating the vehicle. Very obviously she was. That she was on a public roadway, which she was. And third, that she was impaired, which I thought the Adderall on her nose and the walking around and the following the music all indicated impairment. And the judge also made it very clear to us that dangerous driving is not part of the equation when it comes to a conviction, that impairment is all that is needed, so that we don't have to know about any dangerous driving. So that was that. Very funnily, while we were on the break, the court officer that like herds us to and from the jury, from the courtroom to the deliberation room and the jury restroom, he had mentioned to us that like that we were going to have like one more cop and then the case of the closing arguments and we'd get the case and it should be done by like four or so. And the way he said it to me, just the way it hit my ears was just, yeah, this is a slam dunk. You don't have to worry about it. You guys are going to be in that deliberation room for like, I don't know, 5-10 minutes. Boom. We got this, bro. But we go into the deliberation room. And with our one piece of evidence, our piece of evidence is a printout of a Google map of the intersection where the lady was stopped. That was the whole of our physical evidence for this case. And we pulled our poll. I really enjoyed the deliberations. It was kind of like friendly but formal. None of us gave our names. We were all just six strangers hanging out in a room. And we were just like going through it, but none of us felt the need to like share or kind of like bond. No one was like, "Hey, I'm Joe." None of that. It was just very much, "Hey, we're all here. We're all doing a thing." And it was also very, like, very weird. Like during the breaks in the trial, we would just be on our phones or just ignoring each other because we couldn't talk about the case. We had to like be quiet the whole time. It was very, very odd. So we got into the deliberation room and we start talking and spitballing and we like do a poll. And the first poll is 3 not guilty, 3 guilty. And I'm probably like the strongest on team guilty at that point. And I really made the argument that by the letter of the law, she's guilty. By the spirit of the law, maybe we like don't do this. Because in my mind, also, this is a victimless crime. The cops grabbed her. No damage, no property was damaged. No people were hurt. Nothing really happened. So it was just a thing that was really like annoying because the people in the room were very much upset at the fact that the cops didn't do the 12-point drug check. There was no blood drawn. There was no urine taken. We had no evidence. There was no body cameras. There were no photos. There was no video. It was just literally two cops told us what happened, and that was supposed to be good enough. And again, for those three jurors that were on the not guilty side of things, they weren't really swayed. And then one of the not guilties and one of the guilties had a conversation, and when they were done, they both switched. One guy was like, you know, now I'm leaning guilty. The other guy was like, man, you did it to me too. I'm leaning guilty now. So we were in this spot and we wanted more information is what we wanted. And so the information we wanted, there was a third question, which I'm blanking on. I'm a bad juror. I forgot our third question, but, our questions were the prescription drugs that were found, were they in her name or not? And when was the traffic stop? Was it like in the middle of the day? Was it in the evening? We wanted a better understanding of the traffic stop. And we got into the courtroom, and the judge told us that they cannot answer any of our questions. He was just like, look, what you got is what you got, and that's it. So get back in there and continue deliberating. And what was really, like, what, this just blew my mind, because they just grabbed the six of us and threw us in the jury box, and that was it. And it felt like if they wanted us to be better about this, then, like, they should have given us, like, notepads to, like, write stuff down with and remember it, or let us put our phones on record or something. Just have a way to have a transcript of something other than just, hey, your shoddy, sleep-deprived recollections of what was just said over the last few hours, make it work. And that was really annoying. And